Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 23rd of February, recording at 9:29 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today, and there are plenty of them. Not in Asia, though, where the action was a bit mixed. China was down slightly, that's the A shares, but they closed well off the day's lows. Hong Kong and the H-share index extended their rallies that they saw yesterday. European stock markets were weak and closing down mostly over 1%, although not the UK. It was a smaller decline. And where we have the sovereign debt concerns, really Italy and Spain being the focus of attention, those markets were quite weak, down about 2.5%. And Wall Street closed soft, down around 1.25% on average. Okay, what else? Long-dated government bonds, they were quite firm here today. The bunds really surged. And the U.S. Treasuries were really quite steady as well, upward dynamics there. And the U.S. dollar reversed an earlier decline, had a modest decline, and then rallied, except against the yen. The yen was a strong currency in here today. And with the dollar falling back to 90.25 yen, precious metals were clipped in here today. A gold down $12 as I speak at 1102.25. Silver hit for 38 cents. Platinum 17.6. Palladium down 10.5, 11.5 rather, and with a downside key day reversal. And that's interesting. And now the grain and bean complex were strong early on. Soybeans had been quite firm, but in the last few days, but then reversed it and closed weaker. The industrial metals were also weaker, with copper down 9.5 cents. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, the obvious point is that people are nervous, and that nervousness is leading to some rangy, choppy stock market action. That was really predictable, because we saw stock markets decline steadily down to their rising 200-day moving averages, which a lot of people will have noticed. It's one of the reasons why they're useful, because so many people pay attention to them. And then we saw some quite decent rallies, for the most part, among major stock market indices off those 200-day moving averages. But what happened is that the short-term oversold condition was actually replaced by, well, it was unwound, and you could even say with some of those indices was replaced by a short-term overbought condition, as mentioned by stochastics. These points have been made in earlier audios. So the outlook was for some more choppy activity, and that's what we're getting. Now, sovereign debt concerns really are roiling the markets, because it's a little bit like a banking crisis, in that it's very much like a banking crisis in that one's in trouble, and then people say, well, gosh, what about this one? And that bank or that country is in trouble, and people then say, well, who's next? And so with the sovereign debt crisis in Europe, now people questioning the stability of the euro. You remember 6 months ago, people were saying that the euro was the heir apparent. Here, should the dollar continue to fall. Well, we've got a strong dollar, starting in from its December reaction low, and that's continuing here today. We have choppy, rangy stock markets, except something that I mentioned some months ago, that following the early stage of the rally, and that was really, as you remember, March lows in 2009, and then a big rebound, then a small correction in June and early July. And then markets took off in July and really into September or October for the most part. Then a number of them commenced a further ranging period. Now that represented the recovery from depression discounting lows, and everything went up. Subsequently, investors have been more discerning, and we have seen any stock market that has a question mark over it, Dubai, they're the UAE, I should say, Kuwait, with a lot of investment schemes that have gone sour. Greece, now Spain and Italy, these have really underperformed here. And you could also add China to that list on the big supply and the reserve requirement hikes that we have seen peaking in August of last year. Although it's still right around the region of its rising 200-day moving average. Okay, so where do we go from here? Well, you might remember the three scenarios that I outlined much earlier in the month, and I felt as this is based on Owen's and my discussions and all our thoughts here in terms of what we might expect next. And I'll emphasize here the obvious. This is a tough time for forecasting. Forecasting is least difficult in a trend. I never say anything's easy. When you get a nice, consistent, rhythmic trend, either up or down, when you lose that due to a major correction or whatever else, then it gets difficult. We get lots of whipsaws, and it's easy to be wrong-footed in that type of environment. It's more dangerous for traders as well as investors also. So here we are, three scenarios that we had outlined. And the first one was that this was a normal correction to the 200-day moving average mean for the trend, and that stock markets would bounce off those 200-day MAs, move back up to the highs, encounter a little bit of resistance, then break upwards and resume their overall upward trends, their recovery upward trends. And we rated that at a 40% possibility. And then the second scenario, which can easily be justified by all the sovereign debt uncertainty, the growth problems, the ongoing sort of banking problems, mainly that the private debt problems that caused the recession, would be that stock markets would not move higher, but for the most part, but most of them would actually go on and range around in a very lengthy, largely sideways type of pattern for a good many months. Now, that's not an environment that anyone particularly likes, unless you're just sitting back collecting dividends in a high-yielding equity portfolio, perhaps. But it means that there are fewer trading opportunities, there are fewer investment opportunities that are going to perform over the medium term, and it's less exciting overall. Just get a dull ranging market. And we rated that as about a 40% possibility. And then there's the scary one, which is the bigger sell-off. Probably with some economies going, OECD economies going back into recession, where you get a lot of damage, heading back at least to test the base formations that we saw, and quite and quite possibly the March reaction lows for some stock markets. And we rated that as a 20% possibility. But then I also said that in all probability, we would see some markets in those three different categories. And I think it's beginning to work out that way. For instance, the stock markets that are special situations, very often because of debt problems, mainly because of debt problems, I would add, they are really underperforming. And they're now encountering resistance beneath their from their moving averages. In other words, they've broken under their moving averages, which now represent resistance levels for them. And they're in short to medium term downward trends now in many instances. So there are a few that are in that category. And the first, most optimistic scenario, that is still in with a chance for the majority of stock markets. But we'll get more answers here, obviously, over the next few weeks. But I suspect that we'll have an environment where at least some stock markets will go up and reaffirm their overall upward trends. But without Wall Street's participation, they won't go a whole lot higher. And if Wall Street is largely neutral, then we can expect a lot of other stock markets to be largely neutral. Now, I've said before, I've got more questions than answers in this environment. I make no apology for that. I'm always going to tell you, Owen and I are both going to tell you exactly what we think at any given time. And the people who are standing on chairs and grandstanding here and or forecasting dramatic moves to which gain some headlines, and I don't need to name names, but you've seen it all if you're following the financial news. Are possibly to put it nicely, there's a little bit of overenthusiasm there, and they may well be talking their book, which is to put it not so nicely. People do proselytize in markets. That's fine as long as there's a disclaimer in there. By the way, I'm short or I'm long or whatever. Okay, so not to digress too much here. What about the long-dated government bonds? The overall consensus, and you may well regard that as contrary indicator, is that yields have got to go up over the longer term. But that's a bit of a no-brainer, really, because yields are so very low for long-dated government bonds. But we've had the quantitative easing, and the central banks and treasuries are quite capable of continuing with that. I know, they'll say, well, this policy's ending in March or whatever, but then they can bring in a new policy if they want to and continue with that. But that has helped to keep, helped to prevent long-dated government bond yields from moving up too much, except where we have the worst of the sovereign debt problems. And right now, that's in Euroland, where the countries involved are not able to go in and buy their own paper and print their own currency the way the UK can and the US can and Japan can. So what we have seen in here today is, and I've written about these long-dated government bonds here today, if we're going to get a mildly negative to, well, if we're going to get a negative environment for equities, whether it's mild or not, then I would expect these long-dated government bonds, for the most part, to be reasonably steady, except where the sovereign debt problems are worrying investors the most. Let's face it, you don't have to buy Greek debt, do you? if you're an income investor. Or if you do, you're going to do it cautiously, because that 6.5% yield, while attractive, isn't all that much greater than some of the yields you can see in stock markets. So that's that overall background. Then currencies, the dollar's trend against the weaker currencies such as the euro and sterling continues, but the dollar's not really doing much against the Asian currencies right now. Of course, it's pegged against a few of them, but I'm talking about things like the Singapore dollar. But the euro and the other European currencies, the greenback is still firm. And as long as investors are in a high state of anxiety, whether it's over sovereign debt or something else, then I think the dollar will remain reasonably firm overall. That sits on gold in terms of US dollars, but as one emailer pointed out today, the gold price has hit a new high against the euro recently. And that background, or that evidence is part of a decade-long trend where gold has clearly demonstrated that it is stronger than any of the fiat money currencies. That won't always be the case, because one of two things will happen. Either gold will go up too much, or interest rates will go up sufficiently to make gold less desirable. That's a long-term theme view that I've certainly expressed before, but that's not the case today. We don't have those significantly higher interest rates on deposit accounts to cause gold to underperform. Again, it'll happen someday, but I don't think any of us are holding our breath over that. So gold remains firm, but mainly against the softer currencies, inevitably. And I think that's a trend we will see. In terms of gold in US dollars, it's seen a pretty big correction in line with the greenback's rebound. But I think this is all taking place within that overall secular bull market. I'm wondering, as I've wondered before, are we going to see precious metals getting another move upwards during this favorable seasonal period? Well, in terms of the dollar prices, probably not without a steady performance by stock markets. And I think a steady performance by stock markets would also take some of the steam out of the US dollar. So that's probably the best recipe for strong precious metals in the short term. Meanwhile, that downside key day reversal on palladium coming up near the high. Palladium had been a leader. It had accelerated upwards a bit, got to its, I think it was its December peak, sharp downward reaction, clawed its way back up within sight of that peak and a downside key day reversal here today. So that indicates some vulnerability right there. Technically, it's a short sell signal, and that's what Owen did in his portfolio here today. Well, I don't want to go on too long. I probably have already. Gold, I mean, beg your pardon, I've done gold. Crude oil, $79 in here today. So that rally is losing a bit of steam up near the higher side of its overall range. We've had a lot of ranging going on here, haven't we? And a lot of nervousness, as I mentioned in the very beginning. So that's a good point for me then to pause and say, now I am unable to be in the office tomorrow, but I will be back on Thursday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.